Thank you, Jenny Lynn. I just appreciate it. I think it's amazing. I don't know if you noticed the lines in there in some of the songs she sang today, which I think was ordainedly picked for us. The lines of that God is the one who gives us the breath to praise. God is the one who does that. I find it interesting that the greatest attack today in our society is against our breath. I don't know if you thought about that, but I thought about when you were singing that song, Jenny Lynn, and I just thought, that is the attack. The attack is against our breath to praise, our breath to live our life, our breath, right? When it gets to the worst point, intubation happens, right? Because our breath has become attacked so much that we need to have breath put down in our bodies. Well, I think the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be intubated with the Holy Spirit. And I think we need a new breath about us. And a breath that is walking in faith, not in fear. A breath that is walking in confidence in our God and not in what we have seen in the past months, a growing anger that is happening. And this week I've thought about that, and this morning somebody absolutely affirmed to me that this is exactly the word that God wants to bring to us today. Because I was really wondering, I was going, why did you have me write that lesson, Lord? And somebody came up before the service and just made a statement that said, this is exactly what we need to hear today. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to talk about anger. I'm going to talk about a biblical view of anger. We have seen an increase of anger, haven't we? We've seen an increase of anger. I have felt it in my own spirit and have even responded to it and have had to repent because I've seen anger grow up inside of me. And but there is a biblical balance of anger. When I was raised, my father was a very controlling man. And so I was never given a voice in my home. You did what Dad said, and not that I had to question it, but that I didn't have a voice to speak even into it. And it wasn't until 30 years old that my father and I came together and reconciled with each other. And it's changed my life. But I didn't feel that I had the right to be angry about anything. And I was wrong. There is a right to be angry. And there is a wrong of anger. How have you viewed that? I think it's sometimes people, Christians especially, have looked at anger as though, you know, you're not a good Christian if you get angry. And I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true. But it's certainly we see an unbiblical anger that is happening around the world. Amen? We've seen an unbiblical anger. And so we need to understand that. And so today, as we come with our breath given to us by God to praise Him and to hear His word and to come together and worship Him. This is an honor and a privilege. Are you with me? You want to worship God today? Are your hearts ready for His word? Not Wayne's word, His word. If it's true, pray with me. God, we come before You, the one and only true God. There is no other God but You. You are worthy of our worship. And Lord, we're seeing in a world around us, Lord, not necessarily the effect of a pandemic, but the effect of evil in hearts of people that are raised up during a difficult time and brought to the surface. God, each one of our hearts are tested. We learned weeks ago that the reason You bring us out into the desert, out in the wilderness, is to test our hearts to see if we're really for You. And so, Lord, I don't know all the situations that the people before me are going through. I don't know the anger that they have felt in their hearts over the last weeks and months. But I pray that, Father, as we study Your word, as we learn from You, that our hearts will grow in our faith, in our commitment, in our desire to follow You, that, Lord, the decisions that we're going to make in the weeks, in the days, the weeks, and the months ahead, that we'll make them in you. And that, Father, you will be given such glory because we will be a people that come out of a wilderness following Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you glory and honor for this moment. In the name of Jesus, amen. So when we think about anger, I don't know about you. If you have soak, you have these verses. If you don't have soak, I'd suggest you write some of these things down. When we think about anger, there are three passages, three triads, I call them, of passages that really lead us to some understanding of anger, of biblical anger, and how not to live out in a wilderness of uncontrolled anger. And so they are Proverbs 29:11. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person holds it in check. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger and don't give the devil an opportunity. And then James 1, 19 through 20 says, dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. You got them? Three wonderful verses, three true verses. It was May 6, 2020, on the east side of the state in Michigan. We were under an extended stay-at-home order. Tensions were high. And a woman in the Detroit area walked into a Family Dollar store with her daughter. She was met at the door and asked to put her mask on. Her daughter did not have a mask. And so the clerk politely asked her to leave. She left. She came back with her daughter's with her husband and with her daughter's brother. And the brother shot the clerk in the back of the head. I am sure that today, as they are paying the cost of the crime that they committed, that they're probably thinking to themselves, why in the world did we do that? Proverbs 29 says that when anger is out of control, it comes out of control of a foolish person and it destroys because they give full vent to their anger. In these past weeks, have you found yourself giving full vent to anger? Have you found yourself kind of quaking inside and even doing some irrational things because you were angry? God is saying, this is not biblical anger. There's a saying that says, holding on to anger is like grasping hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else, but you are the one who gets burned. Also, there's a saying that says, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it's stored than to anything which it's poured on. Anger can be destructive. So before we go on into developing a biblical worldview of anger, I want to say that all anger is not wrong. Anger is an emotion given by God. God himself got angry, and it is recorded in the Bible. And so his anger was against injustice and the effect of sin done and against his people. Four examples of God's anger. When God had chosen people, when they sinned against him, God had angry. If you remember at Mount Sinai, when the people had put up a golden calf and said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt, God said to Moses, he said, I have seen this people, and they have indeed are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger can burn against them and I can destroy them, then I will make you into a great nation. Second, when injustice is done against followers of God. If you remember, God had incited the Babylonians to take his people captive. But when Babylon started to take that on as their own thing, like we have somehow done this ourselves, it says in Isaiah 10:5, "Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff is in their hand is my wrath." God called Assyria to be a disciplining hand to his rebellious people. When Assyria began to believe it was theirs, he became angry at them and actually ended up destroying Babylon, if you remember. It is now a dust bowl. Third, when God's house is neglected or abused. If you remember in Matthew 21, Jesus said, "It is written, my house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And fourth, when humans are prideful and unwilling to surrender. Remember when Jesus was in the synagogue and there was a man with a shriveled hand. And he turned to the Pharisees and he said, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. After looking around at them with anger, he was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And so God gets angry. God gets angry. There is biblical anger. We have not seen that in our world today. We have seen an anger that is unbiblical. This is where Ephesians 4 helps us. It says, "Be angry and do not sin." So how does God define sinful anger? In James 1:20, he calls it human anger. He says, and it does not accomplish the righteousness that God had set. So what is human anger? First, it is an anger that is quick to lash out. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Don't let your spirit rush to be angry." Anger that is quick in response without a discerning heart is an anger that rushes into sin. How many times haven't we responded to our spouses, people at work, people that we've known in a moment of being offended, and their angry response brought an unbiblical response? Some of us are living with anger on a daily basis, and we're quick to do that. It is not biblical anger. Second, anger that comes easily. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered." 1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love is not easily angered. Anger that is easy is an anger that is built to protect your life. Like you need to put up your own guard. It is unbelief to be quick to be angry because you think you need to protect your own life. You need to take care of yourself. It comes easy when we're offended. It comes from, a lot of times, from past experiences that have not been dealt with, experiences that have produced hurt, bitterness, grief, and most of all, fear. Anger comes easily because of unwillingness to deal with buried past issues. Are you a person that gets angry quickly? Third, anger that is out of control. So we have anger that is quick to lash out, anger that comes easily, anger that is out of control. Proverbs 29:22 says, "An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered one increases rebellion." Now, it's interesting to me. I don't know if you've been listening to the news, but it's interesting to me that rebellion that is happening in this country has been equated to revolution in our media, as though it is a righteous revolution. But we have to remember, we come from a country that knows what revolution is, because in the American Revolution, we came up against an even evil, tyrannical government that wanted to control us here. And we, in righteous anger, fought against that government and won freedom for America. That is not the same revolution that is happening now. Rebellion or mutiny is a revolt against that which is true and right, to sinfully destroy the good and stand in the way or that stands in the way of uncontrolled desires. Proverbs 29:8 says, mockers inflame a city. And so today, there are several young people in our state that are facing charges because of breaking glass and supposedly having a revolution in this country. But they actually were coming against what was true and what was right because of their rebellious hearts against truth. That is not the anger that God desires. I'm sure there's an officer that would take back his knee on a neck if he knew where that would have taken him and what he's facing today. So anger that is quick to lash out, easy to come, out of control, and finally anger that turns into addiction. Proverbs 19:19 says, a person with intense anger bears the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. Anger that is uncontrolled, anger that has become an addiction, is something that continues to control a person's life. And you'll have to continue to rescue. Now, does this make sense to you guys? I'm trying to give you a balanced view of anger in a time in which our country is really struggling with anger. And it's important. Because I am certainly, if I were here to tell you that you shouldn't be angry, I don't think that I'd be giving you a biblical view. I think there's a time for anger. Let's look at that. Before I go on, I want to say one thing. Somebody might say, okay, now how do I know if it's unbiblical anger? Proverbs 30:33 says these words, for the churning of milk produces butter, and a twisting of a nose draws blood, and stirring up of anger produces strife. Evil anger always produces one thing, it's strife. Strife is production of trouble, conflict, fighting, and bitter rivalry that separates people. You can always tell sinful anger because once loving family will be separated from each other. And we've seen some of that, haven't we? We have seen some of that in the world around us and maybe possibly even in our own lives. But there is an economy of God's grace where biblical anger is not wrong. If God himself was angry and his anger over people, and this anger was an anger over sin, injustice, worship neglected and hard-hearted people, then even in the midst of the grace of God, there's room for right and true anger. In fact, there's a time in human history that I don't think we think about very often where God demonstrated his anger, but it became, actually, he became the answer to the problem. It was in a time in which man had rebelled against God, and these words were written, where I believe that it was written with a heart that was angry about what just had happened. It says, I will put hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. The hostility that was put between us and Satan, the moment in which the first talk about the fact that in prophecy that God would resolve the issue by sending his own son, Jesus Christ, is a time that God was angry. And it was against one thing. It's a universal formula. Man plus sin equals God's anger. In fact, he states it over and over again. In Ephesians 5:6, he says, let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient. God is angry against sin. But the interesting thing is, and this is the thing, you know you have biblical anger when you become part of the solution of the problem. When your life is propelled not by bitterness, not by resentment, not by some sort of position as though you're better than somebody else, but that your life, propelled by the righteous anger that God has given you, we'll describe it, propels you into being the answer. To being the answer of the problem. Just like Jesus was our answer, and the Father, in his anger, put his son on a cross to bear our wrath so that he could be the answer in each one of our lives. So biblical anger will put his church into the place of being the answer of the problem. So are you the answer, or are you part of the problem? I think it's a great question. Are you? So how do we respond in biblical anger? I think that there are three things that you need to know. First of all, remember whose you are. Remember whose you are. So much of quick response to anger comes from offense. And that comes against a person. If you're no longer your own, you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, then what in the world are you doing being offended? What are you doing? Like you have to protect yourself? Like you have to kind of, you know, certainly there's offense when God's righteousness is offended. But when you are, Psalm 4:4 says, be angry and do not sin. Listen to this. On your bed, reflect in your heart and be still. I love that. The reflection and stillness of the verse comes from a deep understanding that you belong to God and that he has every right over your life. You don't have to protect it. He's got you, and you can be still. And I needed to hear that. A couple weeks ago, I noticed that I was responding to anger. I've just heard so many stories, so many things going on. My heart was breaking over how people were responding to this time in their life and their anger that was hurting families, and people were walking away from the Lord. And I was starting to get angry, and I was sinning. And I have a wonderful accountability partner. He saw it, and he called me out on it. And I'm so glad of that. We're walking on level ground together, people. The reason I'm up here is because God called me to, not because I got it all together. He's got it all together. I need to trust him. So do you. And so are you remembering whose you are? Secondly, remind yourself of the slow anger nature of God. 9 times in Scripture, the Bible says God is slow to anger. Psalm 145:8 says the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. We are discovering that people can be rich in hate or rich in love. God is rich in love by his grace and mercy that he gives us to every day, and his amazing compassion as he shows us he understands us, because he once walked in our skin, flesh-laden shoes. As you grow in knowing the Lord, let his rich in love rule your life. And let you see it by being slow to being angry. Slow to anger. Remember what God said in James. Human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. But what he's also saying in contrast to that is that godly anger does accomplish what God intends to accomplish it. If you remember from biblical stories, it was the anger of God in David that caused him to take that stone and that sling and slew the giant. Righteous anger. It was the anger of God that came in Phinehas the priest, was described as a zealous for my honor by God, who drove a spear between two people because, as Moses was saying, we should not be intermarrying. We should not be a people that are bringing and doing Baal worship. A man and a woman went in a tent behind Moses as an act of rebellion, and Phinehas came up and drove the spear through both of them. But listen to this. It is also, this is really cool, it is also anger that drives us to repent. In 2 Corinthians 7:11, it's called indignation. It is a part of the fact that I have become so angry against my own sin that I'm willing to break through the pride of my life, get on my knees before God, and repent. And we need that today. because we are a prideful people, and we are a people that need to come back to God and to repent. So remember whose you are. Remind yourself of the slow nature of God, slow nature of anger of God. And thirdly, restrain the power of anger. Out of control anger can lead a person into a lifetime of regret. But the spirit lives within the heart of a person, controls godly anger. Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient person shows great understanding, but a quick-tempered person promotes foolishness. As we grow in the Lord and we grow in understanding the biblical balance of anger, we are able to restrain it. The interesting truth is that when anger is no longer personal, we find that it does not have to have power over our lives. To be angry doesn't mean that it has to control your life. To be angry is to be able to, remember, right, be on your bed, contemplate, think about it, and be still before God. And when you know that this is an anger of God because it's from His Spirit, then you're able to let anger come out of your life correctly and not control you. How many of us have let anger control us? Are you really glad of the moment when anger controlled your life? Was that a great moment for your life? No. But again, remember, biblical balance of anger is that it's not wrong to be angry. It's just wrong to let anger control you. And so restrain the power of anger. And then finally, release the hold of anger. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise holds it in check. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't let the sun look down on your anger. Go down on your anger. And don't let the devil have an opportunity. When anger holds on to you, it has an opportunity. I heard one counselor once says that if a husband and wife gets mad at each other and you have a fight, don't go to bed until you've got it taken care of, even if it means you need to stay up all night. I think that's a great point, but I think it's more than this. Don't let anger control you. Don't let anger make decisions for you. I have watched that over the years, how anger has made decisions for people, and it always takes you out of God's will. You hear me? It always takes you out of God's will. So do not let it have a hold on you. Psalm 35 says this about God, for His anger lasts only for a moment. The anger of God is never out of control. The anger of God is always about sin and rebellion, and it's always in the light of bringing back the truth and righteousness. His anger only burns against evil. God has never had a personal vendetta, and he has never had evil vengeance. And so as we grow in Him, we also grow in that same thing. So there are times when we should be angry. I think you should be angry about the fact that worship had been taken away from you. I think you should be angry about what's going on in our country and the world in response to this. I think you should be angry that there are people who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who are now responding in a way that evil is showing itself more and more clearly in people's lives. I think that should anger you. Yes, I do. So there's biblical anger. And you know what? Remember what I said. If we're going to be a church that's going to get angry as the God gets angry, then you know what? We need to be the solution to the anger. We need to start stepping in and telling people about the Lord. My wife and I had a privilege and honor of meeting a lady this week in our prayer walk. It was an incredible time. We were walking by, and we had just gotten done praying and asking God. He said, this neighborhood is so difficult. We've had such little response in this neighborhood. Lord, we just would like it if you would give us an opportunity to talk with somebody. One block later, God answered that prayer. As we walked up, Carolyn was watering her flowers. So, you know, just as humans and Americans we do, we stood at the end of the driveway, and she stood where Chuck is, right? So we're about 25, 30 feet away from each other. And we're saying, hello, we're Wayne and Sue, we're from the pier, and we just are out meeting people and praying for people. Is there anything we can pray for you for? And she says, sure you can. She said, some of you came by a few weeks ago. I said, yeah, we're out here all the time. Anyways, and so we had a word of prayer. We got done praying, and all of a sudden, we kept talking. And she moved about 10 feet closer. And then we just kept talking, and she put her hose down and moved about 10 feet closer. By the time we were done, we were, of course, at our 6 feet, right? We were at our 6 feet, but we were talking like friends. We found out that Carolyn had been brought up in the Christian Reformed Church. She had gone to the Christian schools. She had, after 17 years of marriage, she'd gone through divorce. And she was rejected by the church, according to her words. Only her words. She had bounced around to churches. And at this point in time, she was on disability. She was living with a man. And it sounded like it was honorable. She had her own room and stuff, but she had nowhere else to live. And she felt far away from God. But for a moment in history, she felt closer. She put down, right? So it's anger that separates us, right? Is that right? Anger that separates us. And each time, she came closer and closer. We need to become the solution. When will the church get angry enough in a biblical way that we become the solution? That we actually are out in the neighborhood, that we're actually loving on people, that UKen Ministries is so inundated with people that Chuck has to have a secretary to schedule UKen Ministries because the people of God are determined to go out and to be a solution because they're angry, as God is angry. Because they're angry against sin. They're angry against rebellion. They're angry against what's destroying people's lives. Is that going to be you? Is that going to be me? So, I think James, I'm going to end it on this. James has a wonderful solution to how to begin to approach this. He says it this way. Be a person that's quick to listen. We need to be people that listen to stories. We need to be a people that listen to people. I am so tired of us being an American society that has got all our own agendas on, and that we're so busy in our own agenda that we forget God's agenda for our life. When have you made room for God to do what He wants to do in your life? And it doesn't matter if He changes your agenda. So we got to be people quick to listen. Second of all, we need to be a people that's slow to speak. You know, opinions are like armpits. Most people have at least two of them, and some of them smell. It's not about your opinion. It's not about your opinion of somebody else's life. It's not about my opinion of Carolyn's life and what she has done or what she hasn't done. It's about a God who loves her. And a God who is calling her heart. And I hope someday that she will come and join us because she feels like she's got a place she can come to. And she's accepted by God and loved by God and cared by God. Does that mean that there's change? Yeah, but that's between God and her. Not between me and her or Sue and her. So we need to be a people that are slow to speak. And then we need a people that let anger that don't let anger rule over us, but that we're slow to anger and quick to love. My grandson this weekend climbed up on on my father's clock that he had built. and he tumbled it over. And I got a picture in my text from my son saying, "There goes Jack again. There goes Jack again." Sue says to me, "Why does he do those things?" Probably because he takes after Grandpa. But besides that, I think that he's seeking attention. We live in a world where people do evil things because they're looking for love. They're looking for somebody to love them. They're looking for somebody to say, "I love you." Not superficial, not, you know, "Oh yeah, yeah," just as a Hallmark card, but "I love you. I want to invest time in you. I want to walk with you because there's a God who loves you. He wants to invest in you. He wants to spend time with you. He's a daddy who cares about you." We live in an angry world because they don't love. They said that one of the number one reasons why we're seeing what's happening in our world, and I think I said it a week or so ago, is because of fatherlessness in America. People are out there looking for love. They're looking for somebody to say, "I'm your daddy and I love you." And you know what? We know his name. He is Yahweh. He is Elohim. He is the great God of the old who created all things. And he loves with an intense love, even to the point of getting angry. And I'm quite honestly, I think that's what love is. I think love is the foundation to anger, because love moves our life to do something about the problem. Not to just sit back and say, "Oh, look at all those bad people." Stop it. That's racism. You want to be anti-racial? Go and love somebody. Go and spend time with them. Get into their life. Walk with them. Care about them. Listen to them. And you'll do exactly what Jesus did when he incarnated himself in this world and walked with you and me. Because he loved us. But because he also was angry. He was angry about the sin that has tried to control your life. He's angry about the sin that has tried to destroy you. He is angry about the fact that you don't know who you are. And he's saying, "I created you. I know who you are. Come to me and you'll find out who you are." Will you walk with me with that kind of righteous anger? Will you become a church that when the people of this community think about the pier, they think about people who are tenacious to love, tenacious to get to know, tenacious to walk alongside of? Because quite honestly, I don't really think they care about anything else. I really don't. But a people that's moved, the anger of sin in this world, moved to love people, to become part of the solution, I got a feeling people in this community go, "What is different about that church?" Does that make sense? Stand with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come in this place today. We come being about of a religious tradition that has been so complacent that even one of my good friends said when he joined this church, he said, "You know, I've been in this community all for plus 30 years. I don't even know anyone in this community." Father, religious complacency has just dampened righteous anger. Righteous anger becomes foundation for righteous love, so that we become tenacious people to God and love. You were angry, and you taught us what it looked like to be righteously angry. We're living in a world that is unrighteously angry, and they're becoming in their own injustice in the midst of what they see. They say they're standing up for justice. I don't want to do that, Father. I want to become part of the solution. So, Lord, build an anger in my heart and in our hearts as a people that reflect yours. Let us see sin for what it really is and how devastating it is to the world. And let us become angry against it. And Lord, then let us become a solution as your Spirit leads us out. May this world's distractions begin to fade away. And Father, may we begin to walk in our communities and in lives of others, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, who became the solution in our lives. Lord, thank you for this amazing time together. Thank you, Lord, for a family that worships together. Father, may our lives be moved, and may even today someone's heart beat just a little stronger and become more angry against the sin and the wickedness that they see happening around them. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.